Rap City, let's go. The Wilson Rush Podcast. With your host, Wilson Rush. Also with C-Lib, Far Wilson, and C-Rush. What up, Detroit? 7 miles. Rap City, your world. DJ Clips. We the best, the Chemist Music Group.
Yes, sir. Wilson Rush Podcast at it again. We definitely got a good one today. We got the usual suspects back in the building. C. Rush, T. Will. C. Rush, what's going on, baby?
Another beautiful day here in the D, man.
Yes, sir. Nothing like preparing for hump day with a Wilson Rush Podcast. T. Will, how you feel?
Feel pretty good, man. Just ready to get back after it, man. I don't know why. I'm just chomping at the bit today.
Okay, that's good, because we definitely got a good one today. We're going to discuss who we believe will be some Heisman finalists at the end of the football year. And today we want to look back and we want to discuss the old CFL-CBA agreement and talk about the new rookie scale now that rookies can't sit back and hold out and make millions and millions of dollars before they even step on the field. So we'll compare those two and give our thoughts on both CBA agreements. And we want to discuss RG3. Last year he had a great statistical year, but he just got banged up a little bit too much. There's no way he can play another successful 10 to 15 years, continuing to get hit like that. So we'll give our thoughts on what we expect to see from the Skins this year. But we're going to start with Urban Meyer suspending star running back Hyde. He was supposed to be one of the best running backs in the country this year, playing with Braxton Miller, and he suspended him. So T. Will, let's start things off with you, and let's go to you. Now, he suspended Mr. Hyde, and all the details aren't in yet. So has Urban Meyer changed to this new strict disciplinary coach, or is he just doing this for the media, T. Will?
Well, I really and truly believe that, you know, whoever you are in life, you know, your past experiences, whether good or bad, if you learn from it and it helps you to make better decisions, you know, then I'm all for what I think Urban Meyer is doing. You know, I think he has grown. I know he hasn't lost his competitive fire, but I really think he has grown and learned from all the things, you know, that were swept under the rug when he was down at Florida. And I think he's bent on doing things the right way this go around, you know, no matter who or what, you know, may be sacrificed. You know, I just think Urban may be the only one that truly knows everything that went down at Florida. And I think the Hernandez case, you know, may have also affected him and helped him further come to the decision of suspending Hyde and not just suspending Hyde, but has Urban in a mindset of, you know what, this time around, I'm going to handle things a little bit differently. I think he's looking at this as a second chance because, to be honest with you guys, we all seen the national championships Florida won and things like that, but Urban went through hell in Florida. He actually did go through hell. And this time around, I think he's doing things the right way, guys. And everything that he's done thus far at Ohio State proves that he's walking in that direction and going down that path of doing things the right way, whether it's sacrificing his best player or whether it's sacrificing a portion of his team. I think this really means something to Urban Meyer, and I think he's going in the right direction this time around.
Now, T. Will, now let me ask you this from more of a coach's standpoint. I mean, when you hear that one of your kids allegedly did something, do you think it's fair to suspend or dismiss a player before you have all the details?
Well, I don't think, you know, from a coaching standpoint, a parental standpoint, or any other standpoint, I don't think it's correct to go off and make a major decision when you don't have all the details. You know, I think you should gather all the details, then go sit around a round table and make your decision, or if you're making a decision as a staff, you know, make that decision as a staff. But I don't think we should jump the gun and make a decision, because if we make a rash or a harsh decision, now we have to put our foot in our mouth as a coach coach and go back and apologize or take that back or this, that, and the other. So I think you get all the details in first fine, and then you make the best decision for your program.
Now, T-Will, this is what I want to ask you now. Now, we all know the Big Ten is nowhere near the SEC. Every year it starts overrated, and they say, oh, this team is good, this team is good. Then we play other conferences, and we just get beat, and we kind of just have good games with each other. And it's nowhere near the SEC, so that's not even a question. But this is what I want to ask you. Do you think that Urban Meyer would have made the same decision in a tough SEC, T-Will?
Well, it kind of depends. If Urban Meyer, if you're talking about his first go around with Florida, no, I don't. I don't think we would even known about, you know, Hyde going through anything. So it may have, like I said, got swept under the rug, just like a lot of things happened down in Florida. But if he may have entered, instead of coming back and going to Ohio State, if he may have taken over a program at, one of the other SEC schools, then yes, I think so. Because what I really do think, I think Urban learned the valuable lesson in coaching. You know, I don't think he'll come out and say it, but I really do think he learned the valuable lesson. I think he learned, you know what, for all the bad and negative that went on that everyone doesn't know about, it wasn't worth going through that to win these national championships. You know, I want to do it the right way. And like I said, that's the path I see him going down right now.
Now, see, Rush, obviously we're Michigan fans here, so it's hard for us to admit it. But reality here is very simple. Urban Meyer at that school in Ohio, he's going to win, you know, double-digit games every year. So are you buying this new guy, or do you just think because he knows that he can still get it done and save a little face time as well?
Well, I was under the perception that he was – I don't want to call him fake before, but like T. Will said, he had to show growth. You know, I'm not the same person that I was when I was 19, nor when I was 25. So he's not the same coach as he was when he was in Ohio State. Now, I do believe that the Aaron Hernandez case put it out there because he had to respond about that. It was allegations that came up from when he coached Florida that popped up. He had to address. So with this being so fresh right now, he had to do the best thing and the most common sense thing for himself and the program. Whether it's to save face or not, that's yet to be determined. But you know what? It looks good because you know what? This may have happened at Florida and nobody got suspended or whatever. It's a lot of stuff that we don't know about, that the coaches know about. But in my opinion, this is turning over a new leaf. You know, he understands he's under a microscope now. You know, and it's not like T. Will said, he did go through a lot at Florida. You know, players getting suspended, players dropping dirty every now and then. And it's a reason he ended up in the hospital a couple times. You know, it takes a toll on the person when he knows the truth and he's hiding it and he's dealing with it. So now when he can control what comes out, he can control what happened. He can say, okay, well, you're suspended right now until we find further notice. You know why? Because if you're innocent, it'll come to light. If you're guilty, then it'll come to light. So just take a step away from our program. Don't cast that shadow over our program. And if you're innocent, we'll get you back out there. That's why it was changed from kicked off to suspended, you know, because no charges are brought against yet. So when we find out more details, then we'll see how his character has grown.
See, guys, here's my problem with this. I don't think you can be the strict disciplinary cop guy in the SEC. I don't think you will win. I don't think you can do that. And I agree with you, C. Rush. I think this is a great opportunity to show that he's grown as a coach. But I don't think you can be this guy in the SEC, C. Rush. Well, talk about that. Talk about it. Do you think a guy can really keep his job if he's being the tough and he's not sweeping things under the rug? Can he keep his job in the SEC, though, C. Rush?
I mean, I hate to say it, but Nick Saban has. The old ball coach, Steve Spurrier, has. You know, he's dismissed guys from his program as well. Now, every coach won't be a Les Miles and have all kind of stuff going on. It's a lot of stuff going on at LSU. You know, the Honey Badger getting kicked off, guys getting suspended, Russell Shepard. You know, it was a lot of stuff in Jefferson a couple years ago. It's a lot of stuff going on there. So you're right. You know, you gotta just say, hey, you gotta get back on the field in the SEC because how competitive it is.
See, now
but it is. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say. See, here's my thing about Nick Saban. I think his name allows him to get those recruits, and I think his name carries a lot of weight. I mean, you talk about Steve Spurrier. Yes, he's done a good job there, but you know, ask someone if he's won an SEC title. No, he hasn't won an SEC title. So I don't know if you can be this guy and let all these things and don't sweep these things under the rug and be successful in that football conference. And Urban Meyer left. He was stressed. He was in the hospital. And Ohio State is a less stressful job because you know what? 9 times out of 10, his team is going to be better. His team is going to be better than whoever he faces in the Big Ten. And I really do believe that. But T. Will, this has been a terrible offseason for football players. I mean, do you just tell your guys to just stay at home and stop going out for this year and just let this end?
Well, the thing about that is, Fon, you know, it really shows the kind of character guys that you've recruited. You know, the character really shows because when your guys are in the news and they're making headlines, I mean, that's really a reflection on you and your staff. You know, just like they say, you know, kids are reflections of their parents. You know, the players are reflections of the coaches because you brought these guys in. You know, so, yes, I mean, you have to. At this point in time, the investment that we're making in you, get in your dorm room. If you need me to make you a schedule from the time you wake up at 6, 7 o'clock in the morning to the time you go to bed at 10 o'clock, I mean, that can be done. You know, and a lot of programs, you don't have time to do foolishness. You know, you just don't because you have so many workouts, film, this, that, and the other. But when you do have that downtime, you need to rest. You need to do other things. You should be watching film on your week one opponent right now. You should know your week one opponent inside and out. You know, so there are tons of things for these players to do besides going out here and getting into trouble and making headlines and bringing a negative impact on their football program.
But T. Will, I don't know if these guys just don't understand if they have a spotlight on them or not. Because the other day, a Florida football player was arrested for barking at a dog. He was barking at a dog. And he said the dog barked first, so he barked back at him. So when you hear things like that, like I just couldn't imagine being a coach and getting that call. Hey, I just arrested one of your players because he was barking back at my dog. T. Will, do you think these players don't understand that they're in the spotlight and they can't do things like this because, you know, that's a goofy thing. But you know what, T-Will? It's somebody that get arrested every day for something that we don't hear about that's probably even goofier. But T-Will, barking back at a dog because he barked at you?
Well, I mean, now we're talking maturity. I mean, just flat out maturity. You know, but what I can probably guarantee, I don't know what kids you're talking about. But at the same time, I guarantee you he's probably a top recruit, you know, with a great skill set. And like I said, you know, some coaches nowadays, they're sacrificing their program. You know, they're getting those guys with those great skill sets that are, you know, maybe some kids with character issues. So you should expect phone calls like that, you know, and it's terrible. I mean, barking at a dog because the dog barked first. I mean, realistically, how did he pass the test to get into our school? My goodness.
So T, real quick before we move on, I just want to ask you the same question I asked C. Rush. Can you keep your job in the SEC by doing things the right way?
I do not think so. But I will tell you guys this: second time around for Urban Meyer. I'm telling you guys this, and I am very truthful with it. If Urban Meyer was to go 7-5, 8-4, and as an overall record, taking over an SEC program, and he know he did it the right way, I think Urban Meyer would be satisfied with that because he know he did it the right way. And the only reason I say that, guys, is because he's been on the other side of that coin where he's done it the wrong way, and it almost cost him his life. You know, and he's won national championships, but it almost cost him his life. So to know you did it the right way and to have some success, I really and truly think that Urban Meyer would be satisfied with that, guys.
Yeah, I mean, I wish him the best. He's at that school in Ohio. I shouldn't say I wish him the complete best, but health wise, I definitely wish him the best. But all right, let's move on. See Rush, and let's talk about RG3. Obviously, he had a great season last year for the Skins, but he tried to get those extra yardage. You know, he tried to improvise a little bit. So see Rush, obviously he cannot continue to go and take that punishment. It just can't happen. So what do you expect to see from their offense in RG3 this year?
Well, I expect to see a lot of great things. For one, let's not forget he was a rookie quarterback. He relied a lot on his instincts. When you're the fastest player, probably on the field, you're going to think you can get those extra yards. So he's coming from Baylor to where he's faster. He's probably stronger than most kids on the defensive end. He think he can get those extra yards. Now you bump to the NFL, that is a level playing field almost. He still has elite speed, but you can't rely on your instincts as much. You can't juke and you can't spin. You can't run through those linebackers. You know, you got to get down, get out of bounds, protect your body. So I think that he'll rely a lot less on his instincts and think a lot with his brain this time. And like I said, he's going to his second year. A second year in this offense, he'll have a better grasp of the offense. He'll understand what's going on. He'll know what's hot. He'll know what's going on around him. He'll know the check down. So he won't have to run. He'll let Alfred Morris or whoever's in the backfield run for him, you know. So I think Shanahan, he's not a fool. He's going to do a good job of trying to protect his franchise, protect his money. Because at the end of the day, if he's not healthy, they're not in the playoffs. I'm not saying completely abandon your legs or anything like that, because you know why? That's what separates him from most of these quarterbacks out here. You know, he has the arm strength, he has the IQ, and the legs, you know. So he has to do a better job of figuring it out. You know, he can't take those shots as he did last year. It's okay to get down. You know, the way the quarterbacks are protected now, it's easier for him, in my opinion. You know, if you sneeze on the quarterback wrong in the pocket, you're getting flagged. So, but when you leave that barrier and cross that line of scrimmage, you're fair game. So the safest thing for him to do is get down or get out of bounds. So I just really believe that the play calling will change a little bit. You know, maybe protect him more on the naked boots, but I believe that Mike Shanahan can't knowingly go into the season of saying, okay, we can do the same thing we did last year. No. If you want to have longevity in this league as a coach and also as a player, you got to think about, okay, can I play again? Because let's not forget, this is the NFL. This is a what have you done for me lately. If you can't produce, they will cut you. So I believe that he's going to do a better job protecting himself, and I believe that Mike Shanahan will put him in a good position to protect himself.
Do you think we'll, in his sophomore season, see the same impressive numbers, or you think they'll decline? What do you think we'll see?
We'll see about the same, maybe a little less rushing, more passing. But that just comes with being a second year in this offense. You know, that he probably didn't open up the whole playbook for him. So he'll have more stuff to work with. He'll have more tools to work with, you know. So I believe that he'll have better numbers as far as passing. Now, don't get me wrong. He had great passing numbers last year, but he also had great rushing numbers last year. But I believe he'll take a step forward passing, and maybe the rushing won't be as high. It'll still be high. He'll still probably be the top rushing quarterback besides him or Cam Newton. But I believe that he'll have a great year.
T. Will, let's let you in. Give us your thoughts on RG3 and what we should expect to see this upcoming year from the Skins.
Well, to really hit back on your question, Fine, when you was asking about, you know, will we see a different style from him and things like that to keep him healthy, I really think that's a huge question for the Redskins organization, and I think they have to ask themselves, you know, can he play a different style? You know, will he be the same quarterback if he doesn't have the threat of the zone read? You know, can he be a pocket passer, or can he be a quarterback Or is he the quarterback that's attached to this type of style of a zone read offense? You know, those are just a few of the questions that the Redskins have to ask themselves if they're thinking about a change. You know, personally, me, I would keep him in the same style of offense, guys. And I would do it because that's where he's the best and most effective. You know, when we seen him at Baylor, you know, his rookie year in Washington, you know, in a league that hasn't seen a ton of zone read, but now it's starting to integrate into the NFL. You know, in the physical league, you know, like the NFL, you have to make sure you have a worthy number two, you know, and they do, the second year quarterback that's coming out of Michigan State also is his backup. Because his injuries, RG3, his risk of injury is going to be a lot higher than any other quarterback in the league, you know, but I will say this though, you know, he can be a little bit more smarter in how he plays the game of football. You know, he can slide a little bit more. He can run out of bounds and possibly throw the ball away a little bit more to prevent some of that unnecessary contact. And what people have to understand is the offense doesn't dictate who gets the ball in the zone read scheme. Okay. The defense dictates it because the guy that you're reading, if he goes down that line and he chases the dive guy every time, guess who's going to pull the ball? The quarterback. So if they're going to continue to put him in this zone read scheme, you're going to see a lot more defenses going right in that read key that the quarterback makes. He's going to be diving down on Alfred Morris, and they're going to force RG3 to pull that ball and to become a runner. So they have to keep that in mind also, and understand this. Defensive coordinators get paid a lot of money. So they've been spending all offseason, probably spending some time down at the college level, you know, at some major universities, you know, trying to figure out how other defensive coordinators stop this zone read. So you can best believe they haven't been just sitting around this offseason. You know, I think a lot of DCs have been really trying to scheme against this zone read. And I don't think the Redskins should change it. I think they should keep this style of play because this fits him, and don't try to make him into something that he's not, which is a pocket passer.
Now, T. Will, now let me ask you this. Now, after the season, the question was, for a lot of people, was the play calling to blame for his injuries, or was RG3 to blame for the hits he took? How do you feel about that question?
Well, I don't really blame the play calling, because when you run this type of style of offense, your quarterback's going to carry the ball. So I don't blame the play calling. Once they decided, hey, you know what, this is going to be our base scheme, we're going to pretty much put everything, all of our other scheme, we're going to base it around this. Once they came to that decision, you know, they understood how they were putting their quarterback out there. So I wouldn't blame it on the scheme or play call. I mean, on the play calling, because that was a part of their scheme. But like I said before, I think he can be smarter in the way he plays football with, you know, sliding, you know, throwing the ball away, running out of bounds, doing some of those things, adding some of those elements to his game. So he's not taking all of these, you know, he may take an extra 5 or 6 hits a game, you know, just by not doing those things. So maybe if he integrates those things, he can take, you know, maybe 50 or 60, maybe 70 less hits per season.
Now, see, Rush, this is the second time he's had a big injury. So let me ask you this. Do you think that he's going to be tentative to come out to start?
I don't believe he's going to be tentative. He's been through it before. He's torn his knee up before. So he realizes what it takes. He realizes that, you know, I got to be on the field for my team to win. You know, I just think that, like to piggyback off what T. Will said, you know, Mike Shanahan had John Elway in Denver. Not to say that John Elway was some elite athlete when he had him, but he finds ways to put his quarterback in the best position. I'm not saying abandon the option read completely, because it's a deadly thing, but like you also said, when defenses have film on you, they figure out how to stop you as well. So I think that this year we'll see more of an open up playbook that Mike Shanahan had. Let's see some open boots. Let's see some other stuff that we didn't see last year that he may not have been able to interpret in the film room. So you're going to see, if you see more of the offense, that opens it up more for him. You know, we still want to see him running up the sideline like he did against the Vikings for 80 yards. We still want to see that, but what I don't want to see is somebody who I believe can be an elite quarterback career cut short. You know, we can't treat it like it's college, fellas. We can't. He's not the most elite athlete on the field right now. You know, it's players who were drafted very high and grown men on the other side who are looking to take him out. So you got to put him in a position to be successful. So in my opinion, I believe you got to open up that offense a little bit more and spread it out a little bit more and give him a little bit more to work with so that way you can incorporate everything else.
Yeah, I mean, you guys both bring up some good points, but I'm very interested to see what happens because I agree with T. Will. They had problems. I mean, well, they didn't have problems. Defense had problems with the zone read. So I'm very interested to see, do they change that? That's how they had success. And I agree. I mean, I don't know the football terminology like you guys do, but I know what the zone read is. You read that guy on the end. If he goes with the running back, you're keeping it. And like T. Will said, I think they're going to put him in situations sometimes where they're going to say, hey, let's let him keep it so we can get some extra shots on him. So I don't know how they're going to play this. Do you change your game and you have success? What do you do? He's a franchise quarterback. This is going to be very interesting to see. I really do believe that. T. Will, you want to add something before we jump into the freestyle?
No, only that I do agree with Shane when he say they can open it up a little bit more because – what a lot of people think is that RG3 had this huge playbook last year, okay? He didn't. RG3 had a base of probably, I want to say maybe 4 or 5 run plays and maybe a few pass concepts. They window-dressed it perfectly. I think Shanahan's son, who was the OC over there in Washington, he did a great job in using shifts and motions and creating different matchups on the defensive end, you know. And I think, you know, he got Robert out in the open field. You know, he put some 5 techniques and I'm sorry, I can't think of the word right now. He put him in conflict a lot. But I think right now, next season, like you said, Fon, is going to be extremely interesting because these defensive coordinators weren't sitting around. They're going to have this thing game plan, and they're going to go in and say, you know what, if we lose this game, it would not be because this happens. You know what I'm saying? And whatever is in that blank, they're going to stop that. You know, whether it's RG3 running the ball, RG3 throwing the ball, Alfred Morris, whatever the case may be. So I think you'll see some defenses adapt this upcoming season, and I think the Redskins really have some questions to answer.
Hey, good point, man, but don't lie to me, man. If I say if you got something, don't say no and then start talking. Don't do that, though.
Yeah, that's a bad habit I have.
All right, but yeah, I mean, like I said, no, seriously though, I think it's gonna be very interesting to see because he is a franchise quarterback, and I don't care what system you run, there's no way you can take those hits and play for another 15 years. I don't see him doing that. I just really don't. But all right, it's halftime, so it's time to jump into that freestyle real quick.
Yes, sir.
So who up to bat?
I am.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. It's understood. Okay. It's understood.
All right, it's on you, sir.
All right. First of all, the freestyle is brought to you by the great people at the Chris L. Davis Agency, helping clients with their brand and helping clients also receive contracts to play all kinds of sports overseas and in America, everywhere. Give them a call if you need some help with anything to help you with your brand, a logo, whatever you need. Just give them a call. Go to chrisldavis.com. All right, guys. So let's start with the MLB. I know we all know this. Now, Ryan Braun was caught doping. And C. Rush, he admitted it. You know what we used to hear? Nah, it wasn't me. Mm-mm, didn't do it. I'm just playing baseball until I'm 65 years old, throwing 100 miles per hour. Was not me. I did not do it. This guy said, hey, I'm going to take my suspension, and I hope people learn from this. Now, thumbs up, C. Rush, if you think that people see this suspension and say, wow, this guy only got suspended for the rest of the year. Thumbs up if you think that people see this and say, well, I'm going to start admitting to it as well. Or thumbs down if you say, nope, people are still going to do the same thing and deny, deny, deny.
Thumbs down. And it's a couple reasons why. For one, he got caught last year and didn't get suspended. So he was like, hey, I'm still innocent. So he got caught. It was a malfunction with the urine. They didn't transport it right or something. So he found out. I was like, oh, nope, I didn't do nothing. Knowing good well that he did. So if people are still doing it right now, A-Rod is saying, hey, if y'all ain't got nothing on me, hey, y'all can't prove it. If you ain't got nothing on these guys, they don't care. You know, they still going to make millions. Who cares? You know, until you start voiding contracts out, then they don't have nothing to lose. You know, what's 50 games to a $110 million guaranteed contract? So what? So you know what he did? He was like, well, until you all can find the evidence, find the stuff, I didn't do nothing. So that's how players are taking it. And I can't do it.
T-Will, how you feel about this, man?
Well, I have to go the other way, which is I have to go thumbs up. I do think people are going to start agreeing. But first, before I go there, fellas, big shout out to the CEO, Chris L. Davis. But I'm going to go thumbs up on this one. And the reason I say that is because when you look at the list of people, it isn't really high priority names anymore. I mean, A-Rod, I mean, he's been in the news about doping for the last, I don't know how many years. Okay. So A-Rod's pretty much done. You know, you look at Ryan Braun, you look at, Johnny Peralta, you know, who's an all-star this year, Nelson Cruz. And after that, guys, everyone else is pretty much, you know, second tier players and things like that. So when you're talking about them showing leniency, to someone admitting to it, you know, once they get caught, you know, they're going to take that. They're going to come forward and say, you know what? Okay, I'm caught. Yeah, you know, I did it. And they're going to take the lighter punishment instead of saying, you know what? I may never get signed again to a baseball contract, or I'm going to have to sit here. Once I lie and get caught, I'm going to have to take this 100-game suspension. So I think it will enter players' mind, and I do think some of these lower-tier players will start admitting that they have done it once they're caught.
Wow. I mean, that was a good argument, but I think, T-Will, when you say that they are going to be scared to get their contract voided, and I think that's why I got to side with Shane, because I think it is about the money and it is about keeping those rims spinning. And they don't want that contract voided. I think the Yankees are actually hoping A-Rod is caught somehow because they gave him this big contract. So I actually think they're probably hoping that he gets caught. So I
got
to.
And real quick, Melky Cabrera got suspended last year, and Toronto signed him. So it's still money. Like, you know, it doesn't even matter at the end of the day.
Yeah. All right, let's go on to the second one. Let's start with T-Will on this one. Now, T-Will, the Bengals owner said he wants to do Hard Knocks again. And the reason why he wants to do it is to show that the image of the Bengals, it has changed. He said they repeatedly made mistakes. They signed trouble players. They drafted trouble players. Now, thumbs up if you think this is why he's doing it, or thumbs down if you just think he wants that check.
Well, he has a reputation, so I'm going to have to go thumbs down. I think he really does want that check. You know, at the end of the day, I think that's what he's in it for. I think he's in it for the money, you know, and he has a reputation of taking, you know, trouble guys and things like that. But I don't think that's the reason that he wants to show. I think he really wants it for that check. And in the meantime, if he can show that they're doing better within their franchise, that's a win for him. But I think primarily he's in it for that check.
See, Rush, I mean, are you buying this? Because they have gone after some troubled players. And are you buying what he's saying?
I'm going to go thumbs up on this one. And here's why. This is the same coach but a different culture. You know, it's a new face. You're not seeing Chad Ochocinco. You're not seeing TJ Houzmanzada. You're seeing Andy Dalton, AJ Green. You know, when they were on Hard Knocks the last time, they were practicing up under an overpass on the freeway as an NFL team. Now, they got a new practice facility. You know, yeah, they still may have went after troubled players. It was a lot of drama back then. Like I always said, you want drama? Turn on Channel 7 at noon. You know, you'll see drama there. But you know what? They're showing growth. They're showing a team who was in the playoffs, and they're trying to show what they have now. So he's going to get a check regardless. But what he wants to show is we're not the same team that we were 4 years ago when we put on the debauchery that was probably embarrassed him and his franchise that he has ownership to on national television. Now he wants to show we have quality players, we still have a quality coach, and we have a quality organization here. So people can come here.
Yeah, I mean, I got to side with T-Will on this one. I mean, I think he's just doing it for the check as well. I mean, why does he have to prove to anybody that we're not signing those type of guys? Let's just not read on ESPN.com that no one's arrested and we'll be fine. So I don't think you have to – go on Hard Knocks to prove that, okay, we're a better team. If he goes out and says, well, you know what, whatever we make off Hard Knocks, we're going to donate it to charity, then I think you got a point. But I think I got to agree with T-Will. He want that check. So let's go and to this third one, man. This one hitting real close to home. See Rush, man. I was on a website earlier today, man, and they said my boy Coach Jim Schwartz, the Schwartz, man, they said he on the hot seat. Thumbs up if you agree with this, or thumbs down if you don't think he should be on the hot seat.
Thumbs up. He is my boy. Love him as a coach, but you know what? We have this talent here, and in the NFL, your window is not open forever. We were in the playoffs last year, had a down year this year. Now it's time to show and prove. You know, the roster has been overhauled. We've gotten rid of some old stuff. So this is his. This is all his. Him, Mayhew, this is what they constructed. You know, so now you got to win with your players. You got to at least get us back to where you had us before. You can't tease us and get us to the playoffs one year then. 6 wins, 5 wins. You cannot do that. You know why? Because we've inked players to massive contracts, key players that are coveted by other teams. So you know what? Now let's show that you can win. We know you're a fiery coach. We know you're passionate, but at the same time, can you win for us? Can you put us in the best position to win? So yes, he is on a hot seat. You know, I'm not saying that it's fire is win or go home. But what I'm saying is we should be at the top tier of this conference and this division. You know, I expect to compete in this division. It shouldn't be, let's just go 500. No, I want to have, we had a franchise quarterback, a franchise receiver, a franchise D-line, just got a franchise DN. Let's win. Let's win now. So, yes, he's on a hot seat, in my opinion.
T-Will, how you feel about this, man?
I don't think he should be on the hot seat. Me personally, when Schwartz took over, I mean, first off, you got to understand this. We were coming off an 0-16 season, guys. 0-16. Didn't win a professional football game. I take that back. I think we went 4-0 in the preseason. Okay. But he got us 2 wins, 6 wins, 10 wins. Then we fell down to 4 wins this past season, guys. I don't think we're on the hot seat. He's on the hot seat because of this right here. Yes, we have Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson, guys, okay? We have a one-dimensional offense, and we have had a one-dimensional offense, guys, okay? Until we get a running game, okay, to solidify what we're doing, I mean, you really can't hold them to the highest of standards. What wins football games? Defense and running the football, okay? Our defense is bad, okay? We cannot run the football, but we go out and get 10 wins the year before last, okay? So I think we over-exceeded our expectations. Yes, we went to the playoffs and things like that, and that was awesome, you know, but I don't think he's on the hot seat, guys, because when you're on the hot seat, that means you have the tools in place to get the job done. You're just not getting it done, and last I checked, you can't get it done one-dimensional on offense with the bad defense, at least your back four.
See, here's my problem with this situation. Our former GM set this thing back, in my opinion, 5 years. When Schwartz got this job, nobody else even wanted it. These guys didn't win a game the previous year. So now they have a setback after 1 year. Beggars cannot be choosers. I cannot say this guy's on the hot seat. He always gets the benefit of doubt. No one wants this job. And now we're winning a little bit. Then we only won 4 games last year. He always gets the benefit of doubt. No one wanted this job. And I think he is going to be that guy to take us to the playoffs. But if we miss the playoffs by 1 game, I would want him back. So, T-Will, I got to get you the steal on that one, man.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Yo. I'm at it again, yo. S.E., what they say, we work, we win.
All right, let's get right back into it. And see, Rush, we'll go to you on this one. You know, back in the day, man, when they drafted a quarterback first or second, see, Rush, it was always like, man, this guy's holding out. He's making a whole bunch of money. He hasn't even took a snap yet. And he's making more money than some of the elite quarterbacks. That's ended. It's over. There's a rookie scale, plain and simple. So, see, Rush, what do you like, the former way of doing things, being able to negotiate the terms, or do you like the new way?
I'm in love with the new way because you know why? Teams aren't wasting $39 million on Jamarcus Russell. The Lions are getting set back by drafting Charles Rogers, who plays in probably 12 games. The Lions aren't set back from the time that we're born by drafting Andre Ware, even though the money may not have been the same back then. David Carr is not the franchise quarterback of the Houston Texans. You know, it's a show and prove league. You know, why should I sign you to a major contract when you have done nothing? Why should Jamarcus Russell have came into the league making more than Tom Brady, more than Phillip Rivers, more than Peyton Manning? Because which he did in 2007. He came into the league making more than him for a 7-18 record. You know, I love that you have to prove your worth, because in the real world, you have to prove your worth. You know, if you're not getting the job done, you know, you're not going to get a raise. So, you know, have them something to work for. Don't come in with this entitlement attitude. You know, this is not college anymore. You know, you're in big boy leagues now. You know, so I am such a fan of this that it makes the game, it makes it worthwhile now. You know, because it can set franchises back years and years and years. If you keep drafting a guy who gets paid and says, okay, I'm done, I got $35 million guaranteed, I don't have nothing else to do, I'm going to get paid regardless. That's the mentality of some of these players. You know, so why should I be in the bucket for paying you X amount of dollars when you won't prove nothing? You know, so give them something to work on. You know, Stafford just got paid. Even though Stafford was one of the last rookies to get that high contract, you know, so him and Sam Bradford. So now these guys like Cam Newton, who's going to come up, Andrew Luck, going to come up. You know, they got to prove that they're worth X amount of dollars to get paid. So which I love. So if I'm going to invest this money in you, show me you're worth the investment. Not what you did in high school, not what you did in college, not what you're projected to do. Show me what you've done. Show me your body of work before I give you the keys to the franchise.
Now, see, Rush, were you like me? Because when I saw a guy hold out and never played in the NFL, he used to make me sick. Like, he used to really make me sick. Some guys miss practice, you know, because they were negotiating. Did that just make you sick, or was that just me?
No, it made me mad, because how many mini camps did Jamarcus Russell miss trying to negotiate that contract? I'm going to be this franchise player. Where is he at right now? He's not in Montreal. He's not in Toronto. I don't know. Is he in Vancouver with you, with the Bobcats or Tiger Cats? No. He's at home like us. And you know why? That entitled thing, he had to get humbled. He got humbled. Now it's like, hey, I want to get back to the NFL. No. Don't give them everything that they want. You got to be humble coming into this game, because this game will make a fool of you. And these franchises are multi-billion-dollar franchises in a multi-billion-dollar league. It's what have you done for me? If you're not doing anything for them, why should they do something for you? Now, if you get out there, you work hard, and you get paid, get paid. Get that money. But you know what? When you come out and you refuse to get better, that's the stuff that irks me. That's the stuff that just irritates me. It's like, dude, you haven't done anything, you know? You were playing in college, and now you're coming into the real world with some adults, and you don't want to work harder. You just want to have your money and relax and drink lean or whatever he did. So that irritates me.
Before we move to T-Will, C-Rush, I just want to say we are the BC Lions. So get it right, man. Don't be coming at us like that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't pay attention to CFL. Sorry.
T-Will, man, how you feel about the new CBA, man?
Well, first off, C-Rush, hey, that's beautiful, man. Everything you said, man, I totally agree with. I'm a coach that's always went with the motto, you get what you earn. You know, you get what you earn. And the only thing that these guys have earned is the right to be an NFL prospect coming out of college. You know, the days of them holding out and requesting what team they want to and don't want to play for are over. You know, I couldn't stand the Eli Mannings of the world talking about he's not going to the San Diego Chargers. Man, you know what? He should be grateful he's in the NFL. You know, these guys were entering the league, you know, back before this scale kicked in with a sense of entitlement, like someone owed them something. No one owes them anything. They haven't taken one snap. You haven't ran the ball not one time. Some of these quarterbacks didn't make it out of training camp. So, I mean, they walked in the door with the mindset, and the NFL gave them the mindset of you're basically running this franchise. If you were a number one overall pick in the NFL draft, they were sending a message that you basically run this franchise because you don't have to sign for a dollar amount that you don't approve of. Or if you feel like, you know, you may get more, you know, you can hold out and things like that. I mean, that's ruining franchises. You know, now they come into the league, you know, they get the rookie scale, and now they have to earn that big payday. You know, so now they're striving for something more instead of having a sense of entitlement where, you know, I've arrived already. No, you haven't arrived. You haven't done anything. You know, so now these cats go out there, you know, the Cam Newtons of the world, who's the first quarterback, you know, to sign under this new scale, I believe. And now he has to earn his big payday. So I love it. I love it.
Okay, so there's no perfect system. I don't care when you create something. There's nothing perfect. So, T. Will, because I'll throw this one at you. So, what if you had a year like Luck did, RG3, or Mr. Russell Wilson for the Seahawks? What if you have a year like that? I mean, because do you think that they should be able to renegotiate after they have years like that?
Well, I mean, you could be open to talking to a franchise about reconstructing the contract, but not really. You got to understand, when you're locked into that contract, you're locked in. And I understand only certain amount of money is guaranteed. You know, are the Miami Heat going to call Chris Bosh in and talk about how much money he owes them? No. So, no, I don't, because he owes them a lot of money, you know. And so my thing is, no, once you're locked into that contract, you're locked in, and, you know, you everything that you do under that contract goes to you earning your next big payday. So, no, I take that back. I don't think they should be able to renegotiate anything. I think you should play under that contract, and all that body of work that you do goes to earning your next big payday.
Now, C. Rush, I want to throw this one to you, because if a regular quarterback that's not on the rookie scale system, C. Rush, and let's just say he's not making top dollar, if he has a year like Russell Wilson had, he's got the right to hold out and say, hold on, y'all, I need some more money in my bank account. So what do you think about those guys not being able to do anything about that?
I mean, after 1 year, it's only 1 year. Do it again next year. We'll open up the books, so then we can get you. We can lock you in. Because you know why? After 2 years, I know what you've done. I know you've proved everything that you had to prove. So everybody can be a one-year wonder, but the thing is, can you do it again? And that's the thing that these franchises want to know. So you best believe, after this year, all three organizations, the Colts, the Seahawks, and the Redskins, going to say, hey, What's up with this extended contract? Because if they once they let him out, he's fair game. So it's going to open up eventually.
Yeah. Now, T. Will, do you think that we'll see more motivated football? Because here's my thing. I just think that right off the bat, T, if you haven't played a down, you haven't played anything, and I'm a quarterback, and I got like $40 million guaranteed, I just think I would play a little bit better if I didn't have all that money guaranteed.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Because now you're playing for something, fine. You're playing for something. Your bank account doesn't have all that money in it yet. You know, you're playing to strive to get that big paycheck. So, but when you walk into the league with that $40 million already in there, yeah, there's something in you that may, you know, take a step back or may not go that extra half inch, you know, to get the job done. So, I mean, yes, money is a factor once you get to this professional level.
Yeah, I think so, too, because, I mean, why try to get that extra yard? You know, why try to do this? I mean, everybody's not a natural competitor, especially when they get $40 million in their bank account already and they haven't played. So I agree. I completely agree with you guys. I like the new rookie scale. But the only thing, in my opinion, that's not perfect about it is if you have a year like those three guys did this year. Because I believe that if someone hasn't played that well in the NFL and they have a breakout year like that, they're going to hold out and say, hey, hold up. I need a little bit more money because I've taken this team to the playoffs and, you know, I've done some big statistical things. And like C. Rush said, I agree that it's still 1 year and they may be one hit wonders. But bottom line, they got their team to the playoffs. So that's just my opinion. I don't think when you make a rule that it's going to be perfect, but the rule is in place for the greater good. You shouldn't be able to sit back and miss practice and miss training camp and you haven't played a down. That is ridiculous. So let's go right into our last topic of the day. And we just want to talk about, you know, when it's all said and done, T. Will, give us a couple names that you think that you believe will be Heisman finalists and ultimately your winner.
Well, I think this year is going to be huge on when we look at the Heisman list, you know, towards the middle to the end of the season. I think it's going to be big on the signal callers this year. I think it's going to be a lot of signal callers in there, a lot of quarterbacks, you know, leading off with Johnny Manziel. You know, he's going to be right at the forefront of this. But I think some other guys, some names that people may be familiar with but may not expect it to have seasons that they may have this type of this upcoming season. You know, you have to look at the Braxton Millers of the world at Ohio State. You have to look at Teddy Bridgewater at Louisville. I think it's really set up for him to succeed this year. I think what they're doing down there at the University of Louisville, I think he has a great OC, and it's a lot of different variables down there set up for him. Devin Gardner up in Ann Arbor, you know, our signal caller, I think he's ready to have a breakout year. They've added a great running game to go along with him, and also some better receivers. And to also add on to those signal callers, and Taj Boyd in Clemson, you have to think about him. He had a great season last year. But to add on to those signal callers, we can't forget about Jadeveon Clowney in South Carolina. You know, we haven't had a defensive guy win the Heisman since Charles Woodson. And if I haven't seen another defensive guy since then, I think this guy will be right there, you know, getting some votes for being the next Heisman, too.
Now, T. Will, I mean, he stuck our running back right. He stuck him right in that bowl game. But let's talk about a defender winning a Heisman. You know, what does he have to do? Because obviously quarterbacks, T. Will, they do a lot. They run, they pass. So their stats, we all go, wow, you know. But what does he have to do to get that Heisman as a DN?
Well, he has to be dominant, first of all, okay? And to be considered for that Heisman, he has to have pretty good numbers. He can't have an average year. He can't have an above-average year. He has to have pretty much a great year when it comes to stats. And he's going to see some double teams. He's going to see a lot of cut blocks. Teams are going to run away from him. They're going to send double teams to him and their pass protections and things like that. So he's going to have to overcome a lot of hurdles to get some really big numbers. But we have to understand the people that are voting for the Heisman Trophy winners are guys who have won the Heisman, guys who have played this game of football. And if you're dominant out there, and they watch all of these players, all of these Heisman candidates, they watch them all. If you're dominant out there and you earn their vote, you know, he could possibly sneak in. And if he does win it this year, guys, he'll win it over a crop of great players this year. We do have some great individual players in college football this season.
And T. Will, I love that about the Heisman, that is former players. Because some of these awards, and no offense to them, but sometimes these writers and these journalists, and they've never played the game before, and they're voting, and you're like, how do you come up with that? And so I really love that about the Heisman. I just got to be honest, that former players and former winners are doing the voting. I love that. But see, Rush, what you got for us, man, on your Heisman watch list?
I feel the same way as T. Will. You know, Johnny Football is going to be there because you know why? He's a former Heisman winner who's coming back, who has 3 years left. You know, the only thing with him is, can he keep his head on straight on the field? Braxton Miller, he went undefeated last year, and he hasn't gotten any worse, so he's going to get better. You know, I believe that he'll be there at the end. Teddy Bridgewater, great quarterback. You know, he plays in a watered-down conference, so his numbers are going to be very inflated this year. They may not lose a game, so he's going to be there in the end. and a dark horse of mine is T.J. Yeldon. Alabama has this thing of sending running backs to the Heisman ceremony. And you know what? Last year, Eddie Lacy split carries with him, but T.J. Yeldon was the standout back as a freshman. So you know what? I think that with the numbers that he put up last year and him being the primary back this year, I believe that he can put up numbers to get him down to New York this year. You know, we also have Aaron Murray in Georgia, who their season is going to be predicated on him because he's going to be throwing the football a lot. So if the team has success, he has success, he'll be there. And one more dark horse, Marquise Lee from USC. Now, I don't know who's throwing him the football, but if they find him the football in space, if Lane Kiffin, your boy, can get him the ball, he'll be there because you know why? He is the best receiver in college football by far. He'll win that award. But you know what? If he can get the ball more, he can make receptions, he can play the return game, he can sneak his way in New York City as well.
Now, before I get back to T. Will, I'm going to ask you, because I let him off the hook there, I forgot, who you got winning?
I really don't want to say. It's between two players. It's from the one kid in Ohio and Mr. Teddy Bridgewater. Now, Teddy Bridgewater will have inflated stats because of who they play. But Braxton Miller plays in a better conference, better team, better competition. So, at the end of the day, I believe Braxton Miller will be your Heisman.
Yeah. You guys hit all the candidates, so I'll just simply give my winner. And once again, I look at this Division II schedule that Louisville has. His Teddy Bridgewater stats are just going to be off the chain. And I think that they have a really good chance of being undefeated. And once you win, it makes things look even better for your resume. So T. Will, who's your winner?
Well, I have Teddy Bridgewater winning it. I have them, Louisville going undefeated and him winning the Heisman. And I just couldn't pick a Braxton Miller because that means, you know, they're going to win a lot of games and I don't see them winning in Ann Arbor this season.
I know that's right. I think it's going to be a good shootout this year. Obviously injuries come to play, but I got to be honest, the Johnny Football thing, I got to see him play, man. It's just too much going on with him. You know, maybe it's not going to go onto the field, but I got to see this carry over, and I got to see him carry over and have an excellent year on the field like he did last year, because I don't know if he's ready and he's focused because of that celebrity that he became overnight this year. So, see, Rush, before we get out of here, man, you got something you want to add?
I agree with you on the Teddy Bridgewater thing, but even though I dislike that school down there, I believe he gonna have a hell of a year, and I just really do, because he had a hell of a year last year, and I don't like that school, don't like them, don't like nothing about them, but I can't deny greatness. So
all right, it's too much positive. It's too much positive, yeah, going on about
cut his mic off.
That's what I'm saying. It's way too much positive. T-Will, man, what you got before we close it out, man?
Well, I just want to say too, Shane, I do agree about Marquise Lee. I do think he's maybe the best receiver in the country this year. Just have no clue who's throwing him the ball, and that's a big part of him winning the Heisman. You know, someone has to get the ball to him. So, I wish Lane Kiffin luck out there. You know, I was definitely a big USC fan, but I don't know. Usually, USC keeps a stable of quarterbacks. You know, I don't know who the next guy was. So,
Fonz should know. He Lane Kiffin fan club. I don't know.
Oh, it's between Kessler and Wittig. I think it's going to be Kessler. So, I know you guys never heard of him, but hey, yeah, I follow USC, so what? But, yeah, we're still trying to decide on, you know, we're trying to decide on which one we're going with, man. But in my opinion, I think Kessler is better, and I think he should be the starter, but I'm not at practice every day, so I don't know. But yes, thank you. Thanks for listening, Wilson Rush Podcast. And, once again, please, we got to get some emails going. We got to get an email segment in, WilsonRushPodcast@gmail.com. See, Rush, you have a good show, man.
I had a beautiful show, man. Even though I got robbed, I had a beautiful show.
T-Will, man, you have a good show.
Man, it was awesome, man. I was looking forward to doing this show. I'm glad we, I think we did a great show, guys. And it's nothing like taking this thing from the walk-in closet, man, to the internet, man.
Dang, walk-in like closet. Yeah, nothing like it. But yes, thanks for listening. We will be back on Saturday with another doozy for you. And have a good week, and represent 7 Mile as usual, and we out. DJ Clips, Rap City, let's go. The Wilson Rush Podcast. With your host, Wilson Rush.